Haskell, brother and sister. St. Helena, California, February 21, 1909. Elder Haskell Box, 597, Oakland, California. Dear brother and sister Haskell, I have read your letters, and I wish to speak to you words that I have pondered over the past night as I read the 56th chapter of Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment, and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the Son of Man that layeth hold upon it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hands from doing any evil. Verses 1, 2. The truth that is found in the word of the Lord God is to be our constant assurance. Cast ye up, the Lord declares through his prophet. Cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Isaiah 57, verse 14. Is not this the very work that the Lord has given us to do in connection with those who see and feel the importance of the work that must be done in the earth, that the truth may triumph gloriously? Every man who undertakes to hedge up the way of the servants of God, binding them about by human restrictions so that they cannot follow the leadings of the Spirit of God, is hindering the advance of the work of God. The Lord sends the message, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Verse 14. Earnest effort is to be put forth to counterwork the influences that have kept back the message for this time. A solemn work is to be done in a short space of time. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Verse 15. A very strange work has for years been struggling for recognition. Here and there men have exalted themselves and revealed a strong desire for human power. And the Lord has declared that, as his messenger, I must bear my message and rebuke any work of placing of man-made yokes upon the necks of the disciples of Christ. I will not contend forever, God declares, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Verses 16 to 21. In the chapters that follow, the 58th to the 62nd of Isaiah, there is present truth for the people. Study these chapters carefully. In the seasons of the night, I am declaring in earnest terms to our people the word of the Lord. I am pleading with the churches, telling them that the Lord requires us to heed every warning and reproof given by his prophets in the Old Testament and in the New. Both are written for our instruction. To every warning, we should give careful heed. Eternal life is of highest value. Its worth cannot be weighed or measured. A life is offered to us that, once obtained, will measure with the life of God. Oh, why are we as a people so dull of comprehension? Why so inattentive? Why do we misapply the great treasures that God desires us to appreciate and grasp as our own? It is impossible to find language with which to describe the favor that is offered us in the Word for our acceptance. In the night season, I seemed to be speaking to different congregations, making the application of the truth, and not without effect.
I repeated these words to the Oakland church. The church is yet militant in a world that is apparently in midnight darkness and growing worse and worse. Then I heard testimonies offered by different voices, and the question was asked, How long, O Lord? How long shall a stupor remain upon the church? Then I said, While the requirements of a plain, Thus saith the Lord, remain unheeded by the worldly element within the church, the voices of God's faithful people are to be strengthened to give the solemn messages of warning. The works that should characterize the church militant and the works of the church that has had the light of truth for this time do not correspond. The Lord calls upon church members to clothe themselves with the beautiful garments of Christ's righteousness. Praise and prayer and thanksgiving should now be heard coming daily from converted hearts and lips.
We have a work before us in preparing for the constantly changing scenes of the world's population. Our church members need to pray more and more. There needs to be a living testimony born from converted hearts. God is our sufficiency. The church needs to awake to an understanding of the subtle powers of the satanic agencies that must be met. If they will keep on the whole armor, they will be able to conquer all the foes they meet, some of which are not now developed. Confederacies will increase in number and power as we draw nearer to the end of time. These confederacies will create opposing influences to the truth, forming new parties of professed believers who will act out their own delusive theories. The apostasy will increase. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Those who have started this warfare at their own charges will come more and more to practice the works of Satan. Satanic agencies in human form will take part in this last great conflict to oppose the building up of the kingdom of God. And heavenly angels in human guise will be on the field of action. Men and women have confederated to oppose the Lord God of heaven, and the church is only half awake to the situation. There needs to be much more of prayer, much more of earnest effort among professed believers. The two opposing parties will continue to exist till the closing up of the last great chapter in this world's history. Satanic agencies are in every city. We cannot afford to be off our guard for one moment. The true, staunch believers will pray more and more, and will talk less of matters of little consequence. More and more decided testimonies will come from their lips to encourage the weak and needy souls. This is no time for the people of God to be weaklings, neither one thing nor the other. Let all be diligent students of the Word. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We cannot live haphazard lives and be true Christians. With emphasis, these words were spoken. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18.
God has made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in him. Ephesians 1, verse 9 to 12.